AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Former President Trump is calling today's civil trial verdict a disgrace, but will have to pay $5 million to the author who'd accused him of rape. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Donald Trump's attorney Joe Tacopina sums up the trial this way.
Strange verdict. This was a rape claim. It was a rape case all along, and the jury rejected that.
The jury found Donald Trump liable for sexual assault, but not rape. The six men and three women also found that he defamed E. Jean Carroll. In a statement, she says in part, "This victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed." Tacopina says they plan to appeal.
CBS News has learned the Justice Department has officially filed criminal charges against embattled New York Congressman George Santos. The Republican lawmaker was sworn in back in January, despite telling a laundry list of lies to get elected. He's expected to be arrested tomorrow. Impasse at the White House. CBS's Stephen Portnoy explains.
The high-stakes meeting lasted about an hour. When it ended, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters,
"I didn't see any new movement."
The GOP-controlled House has passed a bill that raises the debt ceiling, but it contains spending cuts that the president has called draconian. McCarthy says he asked Mr. Biden for areas where the president would accept cuts.
"He wouldn't give me any, so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find them."
They'll meet again on Friday. Texas border towns are bracing for a surge of asylum seekers later this week when Title 42 expires. Laredo Mayor Trey Mendez.
"You never really know what to expect, but I do feel that we're as prepared as we can be."
Police in Texas are still digging into a shooter's past to figure out why he shot up a mall in Allen, killing eight people. Hank Sibley's with the state's Department of Public Safety.
"We do know that he had neo-Nazi ideation. He had patches. He had tattoos. Even his signature, you know, verified that."
Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson says he plans to relaunch his controversial talk show on Twitter.
"Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing."
But he didn't give a date. It comes weeks after Carlson parted ways with Fox following the company's multi-million dollar settlement with Dominion. Looks like Lizzo's ready to hit the stage again. She's canceled a few shows after testing positive for strep throat, but she posted a message to fans about two hours ago, confirming she will perform tonight in Baltimore. She's also promised to reschedule any missed shows in Connecticut and Canada. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The man suspected of killing a Western Wisconsin deputy was out on parole Saturday afternoon. That's according to Minnesota prison officials. Jeremiah Johnson was convicted of kidnapping and rape in 2016. Johnson has a long history of committing violent crimes. Investigators say he killed Katie Lysing during a drunk driving stop Saturday. Looks like he shot himself about an hour later. The Brewers are changing their alcohol sales policy again. It's been a month since the team decided to extend the deadline to buy alcohol into the eighth inning, but now the deadline is moving back to the seventh. The Brewers say they didn't have any issues, it's just that extending the deadline didn't increase sales by that much. In sports, the Brewers beat the Dodgers last night 9-3. Eric Lauer starts for Milwaukee tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
If you're tired of the government and economy only working for the wealthy, then it's time to join Our Wisconsin Revolution. Our Wisconsin Revolution's mission is to make Wisconsin a true democracy by challenging the establishment and pushing for policies that benefit the working class. Policies affecting our everyday lives, economics, the environment, and social justice. Restore education and bring fundamental change to Wisconsin and join Our Wisconsin Revolution today. Log on to OurWisconsinRev.com. That's OurWisconsinRev.com.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Jim Grass, Thompson, and Fox. GTWLawyers.com.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Tickets and more at croonersloungemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm woke, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's absolutely right, Dega. And this portion of this show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are. And before we get to our guest here, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and MN 350, I just want to give a quick shout out to Trump and Santos here. Santos is being checked on, too. So that's a good thing. Good thing to feel good here at the 6 o'clock hour on the Civic Media Record and all over Turtle Island. So let's get with Nancy. And Nancy, I know you're doing some double time there. You're a radio guest and a grandma right now. Welcome, Nancy.
Well, bonjour, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here again. I'm Nancy Bolio from the Leech Lake Reservation here in northern Minnesota. And yes, Robert, it's been a busy last couple of days, and I'm grandma till Friday. Well, I'm grandma every day, but I'm double duty grandma till Friday. My daughter and Tom are out of state for work, so I stepped it up, and it's been a workout and a half.
What? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said I forgot how much it takes to raise kids. So, yeah, it's a good workout. Today we actually we held a press conference and a dialogue about our treaty partnership with our former defendants in the Fire and Light treaty case. And on April 25th, 2023, Clearwater County dismissed all the charges against the 10 remaining defendants cited for trespass after engaging in a ceremonial treaty encampment known as Firelight. And again, Robert, that was, an Anishinaabe-led encampment along the Line 3 easement. We held that space for 8 days, and we did it in peace. We did it in prayer. And we showed the whole world what it looks like to stand in solidarity as treaty people. So again, those cases were dismissed after the presiding judge affirmed that defendants could allow that testimony, you know, that they were invited by the Native defendants, the Native Anishinaabe people that were out in the Line 3. And so basically, they knew we were right. Mm. And it was easier for the courts to dismiss these charges and fight them. Because they know we're right. And I guess, you know, when they dismiss them, they kind of sweep it under the rug, hoping nobody else hears that far and wide. But again, we're at another treaty encampment, and we're going to continue to assert those treaties. So I think, you know, thinking about Standing Rock and opening up, you know, the door to the future of what it looks like to stand in solidarity, creating a future that we can all thrive in, has been a beautiful thing coming out of Firelight. And we see where we're at today, that we're kind of like on chapter two.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know, it was exciting too. And we run this all the time is, before you started Firelight, I was up at that great, event up there with thousands of people, and I got to hang out with Jane Fonda, and I always will be grateful for that.
Yeah, you know, Robert, I was just too busy to pay attention to her, but it's always have celebrities out there, but yeah, it was a really busy day for me. And again, you know, I'll never forget Camp Firelight, and it just keeps me inspired to continue to do the work that we do, because again, what good are those treaty rights if we don't assert them? And what good are those treaty rights, you know, those inherent rights to hunt, fish, gather, and travel if the water is poisoned? So there's a lot more work to do. And I think, you know, being here at the Turtle River, the 1855 treaty encampment, is just an extension of the spaces that we hold. And, you know, again, I can't, you know, it's just the importance of building that treaty awareness, treaty partnership with our non-Native people, because we don't see treaty being taught in any of our history books. So I guess it's up to people like ourselves to go out there, assert those treaty rights, and, you know, build that awareness and spoon feed our elected officials what why treaties matter. And I think the camp that we're in now is just a perfect example of what, you know, those spaces look like. And we hope, really honestly, Robert, that we inspire other Native relatives to hold space in their own homelands and assert those treaty rights. Because again, it's not a crime to assert treaties, it's a crime to deny them.
Well, also, you started this camp in a good way too. It was sugar bush season, and a lot of people were coming up and helping work, and that's a beautiful thing too. And I can't wait for my syrup here to come down to the Twin Cities. Ho!
Robert, we need you up here in camp to broadcast live. So yeah, the you know, the Turtle River Camp is an 1855 encampment. It's just located just about 12 miles east of Bemidji, and the camp supports the need to exercise and retain our treaty rights and responsibilities while protecting approximately 600 acres of wilderness owned by the state of Minnesota. The land is just north of the Leachuk Reservation boundaries, and it's within the 1855 ceded treaty territory. So again, there's 600 acres of you know, maples and other obviously living things out there, and it's under the jurisdiction of the state of Minnesota, and they are planning on to thin out some of the forest, clear cut the backside of it. And again, the reason why this specific area is important, if you listen to the Midday stories, the migration story, the creation story, and even the Red Lake Trail crossed through that area at one time. So this area has cultural significance, and this is why we're doing everything in our power to hold space peacefully and to assert those treaty rights. So again, Sugarbush is done, but we would like to, you know, probably once we get through the spring cleaning and getting ourselves grounded and getting ready for our community round dance, we want to go out and do a little fishing and continue to assert those kind of rights, like fishing, you know, the Manoman camp. Yeah. We're going to offer ceremony, healing, all those good things. So for now, since all the snow is finally gone, we just want to take a break and step back and call on a few of our allies to help. You know, the forest has kind of got a lot of dead limbs and things like that. So we want to make space for our guests. So when they come in camp, we want to make room for the kids to run and play. Yeah. So it's just actually 2 miles from my house too. It's really convenient for me.
Wow. You could get on your bicycle. Run over there. Oh, wow.
I think so, Robert. I packed on a little bit in this last year. So I got this vintage Swin bike that I gave some love to and spent a little money on it to get it back to where it needed. So my goal is to, on a good day, is to ride my bike down there and bring some of my fresh homemade chocolate chip cookies to our people that are holding space with us. So again, you know, it's a place of peace, love. You can, be who you are and just come with a good heart.
That's what it's all about, too. You know, we got like less than a minute, Nancy, and what I want to do in the next segment, and I know you got to get going soon, is talk a little bit about your history and how you came about this. We always have new listeners, and your show is one, if not the most talked about show when I see people on the streets. You know, they always have good feelings about you and what you do up there. So I kind of want to just talk a little bit about your history, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't care at all. I think it's people get to a little bit about me and all the other things I do because it's just more.
Exactly. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents, and we're talking to Nancy Bolio up in the deep, deep north, talking about what she's doing up there. So we're really appreciative of her, and we're going to talk a little history about her, and then Wendy's going to come on, and we're going to talk some sacred animal stuff. A lot going on here on Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot, and we're here with Nancy Bolio and Haley. And we are talking a little bit of the history of Nancy, and I'm excited to let our listeners in, especially the first-time listeners or haven't listened, and they listen to your reports over the last few years and maybe really don't know who you are, but I think you had a lot of experience, and then, well, I'm going to let you tell your story.
Right. You know, Robert, I think it's been about 6 years since I've been on the show, too, and, you know, just how time flies, and I want to thank you for that opportunity, for giving me this platform to share our work here in northern Minnesota. And I also want to give a big shout out to Minnesota 350 Indian Collective, Indigenous Environmental Network, and some of the tribes here in northern Minnesota that support the work that we do. And also yourself too, Robert. Native Roots Radio has supported the work we do here in our new camp. So again, you know, prior to Standing Rock, I was a student, and you know, I was returning to college to get my LPN, and I guess just watching, you know, Standing Rock on Facebook really hit me, you know, here in my heart, where I felt I just couldn't sit here and do anything. And at the same time, I didn't even really know who I was other than just a living being. And there was a calling, a spiritual calling. I felt it, you know, and so I went. And being at Standing Rock, I got to discover who my people were, who my relatives are, and find that I have more purpose on this earth than working a 40-hour work week and shopping. And, you know, so kind of just following our original instructions as our ancestors, you know, did to protect the sacred. And so I was led to Standing Rock by my heart and gave it what I had. And knowing, you know, I couldn't be a nurse without clean water, I took my last year off the clinicals to defend the water. Because again, you know, water is life. And how could I be a nurse without clean water? So I gave it everything I got, came home, and decided I had to put school on hold so I can fight the line 3. And as I was doing that, MN350 reached out and onboarded me onto their team. And prior to my arrival at 350, Minnesota 350, I should say, we didn't do treaties there. So, we started a treaty campaign, just starting, you know, by having that conversation, treaties matter. And it was people like yourself and allies along the movement that gave our work a whole lot of momentum. And together, we're showing the whole world what it looks like to stand in treaties in a good way. And one of the biggest things I do that a lot of people don't know is I work as a... I don't want to call it work. I volunteer as a DFL, the Democrats, Farmers, and Labor Party. And yeah. I say, you know, treaties are nonpartisan, so all these parties need to abide by treaties. So there's a lot more work to do. But, you know, just, you know, last year we brought a treaty resolution to the state convention. We passed it. And now we're calling on some of our elected officials to remind them that treaties are in the DFL action agenda. So we're asking them to breathe life back into, you know, those treaties and start having those conversations, you know, at the state capitol, you know, at anywhere they could have these conversations. So, I do a lot of that. And I also work with, our, you know, local elected officials, that's the city council, the county commissioners, and the sheriff's department to build those relationships in treaty and remind them that they have an obligation to uphold those treaties regardless of, you know, what church they go to, what political party they belong to, how they self-identify, or what their worldviews are. They still have that obligation. So I think, you know, our space in camp is a fine example of, you know, continuing that work forward. Because again, you know, the Bemidji, some of the council members, the commissioners, and even law enforcement have asked us, hey, how's the sugar bush going? And, you know, if we hadn't done this hard work prior to, you know, showing up in camp, I think they would have labeled us as protesters, giving us citations and hauled us out, Robert. But we stood our We reminded them that they have no authority to interpret the treaties. And we held ground and we're still holding space and building on those relationships.
Hey, one of the things, too, that I've learned through you, too, and or reminded, I should say, is that treaties work both ways. Treaties are not only just for natives, that it works both ways in a good way for both people or both sides that signed it.
Right. Because treaties were intended, you know, for friendship, you know, the friendship treaty and to leave the earth in a better way. And, you know, that treaties, you know, the main component was our ancestors signed those to protect our way of life. And if you know anything about our way of life, everything is related, even our non-native relatives. So those treaties not only protect our culture, but they protect everyone. And that's why it's important that, you know, people understand that. And treaties, you know, not only protect them, but they also gave the non-natives the rights to hunt, fish, gather, and travel here in our territory. So, you know, these are things that we continue to build awareness with. And a lot of our non-native people are like, wow, I didn't know this. And,
right.
You know, it doesn't come as a surprise because, again, you know, history is told by the oppressors, right?
The ones who won, the winners of the wars, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, there's just such a big thing happening in this country with banning books and in different states and things like that. But, you know, with your help, we've been amplifying the true history, but also things that are happening right now that you normally don't see, because the mainstream media is just that. It's mainstream, and it's not really talking about issues that affect everyone. It's just whatever, you know, sells more commercials and things like that. So, I mean, you know, you see a big article that Fox News is down since they've been sued, and it's just like, well, you know what their plan was, to ignite and have people watch your show and be outrageous, and we're trying to bring subtle truth to everyone here, and you are.
Right. And, you know, again, you know, just our position at camp, we're breathing life back into our culture and into the treaties and reminding people there's a better way of doing things. And when we stand together, we don't stand alone. And so I think it's really important that we continue building this awareness and bringing in more of our relatives and our allies to spread the word why treaties matter. And I think, you know, we're at a point where this is the time that we can't wait anymore. And as you know, too, Robert, a lot of our elders are walking on. And a lot of those people stood, you know, and fought for those same things. And I want them to take their journey knowing that there's people like myself here that are going to make right by those treaties and defend who we are. And because we are still here, and we're not going to back down, Robert. And I say that in a good way.
Yeah, you got to say it in a good way, because it's a good thing, you know, really. And all the work that you've been doing all these years have not gone unnoticed. And again, I talk about how much when you come on, how excited people are. And when I'm out in the about in the community, they ask about you. And it's grassroots talking to a grassroots radio station show talking to a grassroots person.
Yeah, we, you know what, Robert, we like to, you know, call our spaces that we hold organic. It's for the people, by the people. And yes, we have, you know, nonprofits that support our work, but these are nonprofits that are really out there doing the good work and really giving us the funding and the resources to make this kind of work happen, because without it, we couldn't do it, Robert. So again, I want to give a big shout out to all the people that believe in us, that show up with us, and, you know, that stand in love. Again, we have to lead with love, and we got to make sure we're here to take care of each other and make sure that all of our spaces are safe.
Exactly. Hey, do you have any plan of action? Is there any way people can help support you, your work up there? Is there anywhere that they can go?
Sure. As soon as I sign off on StreamYard here, I'll share that link on the on Facebook there. And again, we're taking just, you know, a small break to actually get the camp ready, and we're going to go into some spiritual healing ourselves to make sure that we're really grounded, because we feel there's so much good work coming forward. It's going to be a year-round thing. We're actually in a land back status now, because again, you know, we have to protect this forest. There's stories out there. And so we really need financial support. We need some boots on the ground at some point. And we want to encourage people to come to our community round dance. And we're going to also have a hand drum contest, too.
Wow, I better get my voice going. Ho-wah.
Yeah, ho-wah. And then, you know, Robert, come up here. Again, we'd love to, you know, broadcast live. I think we had a lot of fun at the Kichigumi gathering, and broadcasting live with you was one of the best times on the show, just doing it right on spot. So,
right.
We got a booster out there, Robert. We got a hot spot, and we'll get you hooked up.
Oh, that sounds really good. Yeah, that's a great idea. Once things settle down in my other job, which is coming coming to that time, we're in budget season, you know, fiscal years, and we're working hard on that. So, but after that, definitely, especially if you got a hot spot, I definitely could be doing the show up there. Hey, Nancy, we've got a minute left. Any last thoughts?
Well, yeah, I just, again, you know, I want to say miigwech to the people that listen to this part of the show and even the work that we do. And again, we really need some support, you know, and most importantly right now is we need financial help, because we want to really create spaces for our guests that come into camp and have the ability to feed them. So I will share the web on the Facebook page and the link in the chat once my segment ends. And I encourage people to inbox us if they want to come up and visit, because we're more than happy to accommodate people on small visits, one day.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump's attorney Joe Tacopina says they plan to appeal today's verdict in New York.
He's firm in his belief, as many people are, that he cannot get a fair trial in New York City.
Trump was convicted by a jury of sexually abusing and defaming author E. Jean Carroll. He was cleared of rape. The Justice Department has filed criminal charges against George Santos. The New York Republican is expected to be arrested tomorrow and appear in federal court. We still don't know what he's charged with, but the feds have been looking into his finances and campaign disclosures. And President Biden will meet with congressional leaders again on Friday after failing to reach an agreement on the debt limit. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Everybody in this meeting reiterated the positions they were at. I didn't see any new movement. But I was very clear with the president. We have now just 2 weeks to go.
The U.S. will default on its debts if Congress doesn't take action by June 1st. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nantner. Here's what you need to know. Waukesha's Generac Power Systems has agreed to pay nearly $16 million in fines after the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission found the company didn't immediately report a product flaw, which led to some customers having their fingers partially amputated or crushed. The commission found 32 models of the company's portable generators contained a flaw, creating a substantial product hazard. The settlement was announced last Friday. Janesville police say an assistant coach at Craig High School confessed to secretly filming 18 students in a locker room over 2 years. 38-year-old Brian Kitzman was arrested Friday after police found a hidden camera in the girls' locker room. Kitzman, who was assistant coach for cross country, track and field, and boys and girls swimming, has been placed on administrative leave while the investigation is ongoing. Bond has been set at $10,000. I'm Jane Nantner. This is Civic Media News.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC and Pat Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCandPat.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Mike Crivello's Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6-inch prints on 2 for Tuesday. Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints. In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Restaurant has been serving up Szechuan and Mandarin favorites. The Great Wall is located just north of 50th in France on the Minneapolis Edina City line. Check them out at greatwallrestaurant.us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Wendy and Wendy's Sacred Animal Section, and we're going to have a special show today. You're going to have half the show. So wow. I'm really glad you could make it, and always looking forward to what you say, and of course, learn so much. So Pini Gigi for being on.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I'm going to be talking, Robert, about the dog flu. The dog flu. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it has now been detected in dogs across much of the United States.
What?
Yes. Canine influenza, which is H3N2 virus, it originated in birds and it spread to dogs and now can spread between dogs. Transmission of H3N2 canine influenza virus can also be spread to cats from infected dogs, and that has been reported.
What do you do?
I know. It's a scary thing. I haven't really heard much about it except from my friends. Like I was talking to Florence, and she usually takes her dog, Reuben, to the dog park.
Right.
We don't take our dogs to the dog park just
because they're
just not dog friendly. So we just have two dogs that aren't very friendly to other dogs. But, you know, she said, I haven't been taking Reuben to the dog park, and he's pretty, you know, sad about it. Yeah. But here's an article here I have from the Star Tribune from yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's the title is Minneapolis Warns Dog Owners as Canine Flu Spreads. And it says here, it might be Fido's turn to practice social distancing. Remember when we were doing that? Yeah. Now the dogs have to do it. But it says here, this is written by Josie Albertson Grove from the Star Tribune. And, this is from May 5th. May 5th at 8:55 p.m. 7 cases of canine influenza have been confirmed in Minneapolis, according to state officials, after the virus infected 200 dogs in shelters last month. Yeah, there have also been cases reported in Anoka and Carver counties. Dog-to-dog contact is the most common form of the transmission. North Loop and Uptown Pups, which is an area in Minneapolis, are especially at risk, according to the Minneapolis Animal Care and Control and the Minnesota Board of Animal Health. Canine flu can also spread to cats, too, according to the State Board of Animal Health, though not to people. So if your dog or your cat has this flu, you cannot get it from them. Minneapolis dog owners are advised to avoid contact between dogs and steer clear of areas where there are lots of dogs. Other precautions advised are keep a 6-foot distance from other dogs on walks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is another thing that Florence said when she walked Reuben and she saw another dog and, you know, the owners kind of nod to themselves like, yeah, they're friendly. Like Reuben would be so happy to see another dog and to meet another friend. So she's been avoiding that. And poor little Reuben's probably like, why can't I go see that dog? You know, but
yeah.
She's got to shuffle him away.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. Keep pet surfaces clean, since the canine influenza virus can stay on surfaces in the environment for up to 2 days.
What do you mean environment? Is that like outside?
Or? Yeah. So like one of the things she was told not to do from her vet was, you know how some nice people will put out bowls of water for the neighborhood dogs, right? Don't let your dog drink from that, because a dog might have the flu drinking from that bowl of water. They could sneeze in the water, they could sliver in the water, and then that on the surface. So if a dog goes over, let's say, you know how Wanda likes to sniff on those rocks? We call them pea rocks. It's the same pea rocks. We take the same route.
They're huge rocks.
It's huge rocks, but a million dogs pee on them. So if a dog with the flu goes over to one of those rocks and slimes on it, slivers on it, or sneezes on it, it could stay on that area for 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It says consult your veterinarian on vaccinating your pet against the disease. So there is a dog flu vaccination, although I believe and I have heard that they are in short supply.
Oh my.
So I would, ask your vet if they have the vaccine. And if your dog is older, I mean, I would assume, I'm just guessing, this is my personal opinion, but if your dog is older that has health conditions, you might want to have them vaccinated, where a young, 2-year-old healthy puppy, might be okay. Consult your pet's veterinarian if there are any symptoms of canine flu, including cough, fever, runny eyes or nose, shortness of breath, difficulty swallowing, or excessive throat clearing, lethargy, and decreased appetite or water consumption. Most dogs experience mild to moderate symptoms and recover in 2 to 3 weeks. However, there is a risk of more serious infections that could result in secondary conditions like pneumonia, which could be fatal. State and city animal health officials recommend getting treatment advice from a veterinarian. There is more available information at www.bah.state.mn.us. And I think if you just Google dog flu Minnesota or Minneapolis or in your area, and I'm sure it's, like the flu that we get, it's different in different areas of the United States.
It's really good to bring that up. Wow. Because I didn't hear about it until your friend told
you. I really haven't really heard about it either. When I took Wanda for a walk earlier, I saw one of our neighbors and she had her dog in the back of the car, Charlie. And she said she was bringing Charlie back from a training session. And Charlie has met some 4 or 5 new friends. And after I left her, after we had a conversation, I was saying to myself, oh, I should have asked her if they mentioned anything about the dog flu.
Right.
Or if those dogs are playing together and being trained together. The article here goes on to say at the Lake of the Isles Dog Park, Clara Coleman of Minneapolis watched as her miniature poodle Bernie ran circles and dug holes under the park bench. Bernie's young and healthy, she said, so Coleman isn't too worried about the canine flu, but she is keeping an eye out for news about the disease and is watching for symptoms. Will Chandler said he noticed a drop off among weekday regulars at the dog park and wondered if the canine flu is worrying people and that's what's keeping them away. I would imagine it is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Weekends are still pandemonium. What is that word? Pandemonium. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes
you're asking this speech impediment person?
There's some words that I can't say. I don't really say that word that often. I guess that's why. He said with all the people from all over the city coming to get their dogs, they want to get their dogs to come in and run and play off leash. City of Minneapolis spokesperson Blair Floy said the city is posting signs at the dog park asking for people to minimize uncontrolled contact between dogs, but the parks will stay open for now. Chandler said he remains to keep an eye out for the symptoms, but said it's going to be a challenge to keep his Chihuahua Dachshund mix, Fletcher, away from other dogs. Dogs have contact with each other. They're the socialist of animals, Chandler said. They don't know social distancing. So it's really up to us.
They don't.
They don't. It's really going to be up to us to really keep them safe and keep them away from other dogs. And when I walked Wanda today, I was thinking about the dog flu because I was, reading the article today and I knew I was going to be talking about it tonight on the show. And we, usually when we do see other dogs, we don't go near them just because Wanda is not a dog friendly dog. So, we kind of just do our own thing. But I think people need to be be careful of it, be aware of it, ask their vet about it. And again, if they have a dog that has underlying other health conditions, like for Gracie right now, our dog Gracie, she has a digestive problem right now, and she's older. She has a digestive problem right now where she can't, her body's not absorbing any fat at all. So it makes her really sick, and she gets really bad stomach problems and diarrhea. So she's on antibiotics, she's on steroids, she's on a prescription low-fat dog food diet that we have to get special from the vet, and it is really, really helping her. But I think if she had gotten, if she gets the flu, it could be really devastating to her, because she's so fragile right now. So we really have to be really careful of that. But I wanted to know, how much time do we have left, because I don't want to start another one right now.
I think what do we got, about a minute left?
All right. So when we come back, what I want to talk about is horse racing. And I just want to talk about the horses that have died before the Kentucky Derby. So it's a really, people are still going to the horse races. They're still betting on the horses. You know, I saw a lot of people online on Facebook with their Kentucky Derby parties at their house, all dressed up in their swag and the fancy hats and things like that. But I really want to talk about, it's going to be a little bit hard. It's not anything too disturbing, but I want to talk about the downside of horse racing and what has happened lately and what's in the news.
And we have talked about that before, so that'll be good to hear an update on that. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here with Wendy Pilot, and we're talking about our sacred animals, which are sacred to us. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to be talking about that and talking about things that are happening with our relatives.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert.
Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Oh, I put the I put the dog. The dog. There it is.
We have people watching us on Facebook. Yeah. So
there we go. Hey, Wendy, you don't have your camera on, but you are live. Mm-hmm. Haley was a little mixed up. She thought you were pre-record, and I said, "No, she's live.
I'm live. I'm here. I'm live." But I don't have the camera on me, which I prefer.
Haley's waving.
So before we went to break, I just wanted to give you an update on the horse deaths before the Kentucky Derby. And this is from NPR News, dated May 7th, 2023. And this article is written by Julian Kim. The 149th Kentucky Derby may be over, but questions about what led to a string of horse fatalities at its famed track have just begun. Over the last past week, a total of 7 horses died in the lead up to the final race on Saturday, prompting an investigation into the deaths and fueling outrage from animal rights activists, including me. The disturbing death toll seen at the Churchill Downs, home of the Kentucky Derby, is the latest scandal to hit the horse racetracks industry, despite recent efforts to make the sport safer for animals. Joseph Grove of the group Animal Wellness Action said the death toll was alarming. As a native Louisvillian, I get the passion here and across the country feel about this iconic race, Grove said in a statement, but the care of the horses must be our first priority, and this cluster of horse deaths is startling.
Jeez.
It really is. I'm going to go on to read more of the article, but I want to just say, and I've said this before, I had a client once at work, and his job was to stay with the horses, the race horses of these important races, and he would take care of them.
Huh.
Yeah, he'd take care of them. He'd travel all around with them, whether it was in a truck or a plane. Sometimes he said the horses would get on planes and go across the country and race elsewhere and across the United States and across the ocean to Europe and race. And he told me, he said, Wendy, he goes, these horses are cared for unbelievably. They get the best food. They get clean water, filtered water. They have air conditioning. There's no flies in their stalls. They really are kept so nice. But when he said to me, but Wendy, if you could see the way these horses are trained, and his voice trembled and his eyes filled up with water, he said, it is so cruel. I can't even watch. I have to turn away and I can't even talk about this. I don't even know how long I'm going to be able to do this job. That's what he said.
Wow.
That's what he told me. Yeah, it's terrible. Go ahead.
Hey, there's one of our listeners, Nina, who always has nice things to say. It's a cruel sport. Retiring horses or injured horses don't always get good retirement.
No, that's exactly right. Most of them are slaughtered.
Once they don't bring in the dollars, mm-hmm. it's off to pet food, is what she said.
Yep. Okay.
And that's crazy because all the drugs pumped into them, mm-hmm. all it being a commodity, mm-hmm. All these little spindly legs on this huge body.
Exactly, Robert. I'm glad you brought that up because they don't let the horses mature to be old enough, right? They're racing these really young horses that bones have not even developed. And like Nina said, they don't go to, people think they go, oh, they're going to go to retirement. They're going to be on this field of grass and it's going to be beautiful with dandelions and flowers and they're going to live out their retirement. No, that's not what happens. The horse isn't making any money. The horse is going to the slaughter. It's going to the kill pen. It's going to the glue factory. Men come and auction them off. Their weight in pounds is worth more. And they're slaughtered.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
It's horrible.
Profit. It's really a horrible sport and people don't know the worst of it. They really don't.
When we talk about this, and I should say when you talk about this, when it's like I can't stop to not only think about that, about those carriage horses that are running around in New York City, mm-hmm. especially, but we still have one in Little Stillwater and I think there is in downtown Minneapolis too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous.
Yep. Yep. So the article goes on to say four out of the seven horses were euthanized after sustaining injuries. The first death occurred on April 29th. Coat of Kings, that was the horse's name, a three-year-old gelding, repeatedly kept flipping and broke his neck before a race. His trainer, Tim Glideshaw, told Daily Racing Form. Yeah. Glideshaw added that his horse appeared to be fixated on the lights at a nearby DJ booth prior to turning over. On Tuesday, again, this is, you know, old a little bit from the May 5th, NPR. On Tuesday, a horse named Take Charge Brianna was euthanized after getting hurt during a race. 2 days later, another horse, Wild on Ice, was also euthanized following an injury during training. Now, if these horses get hurt and there's, you know, these horses, they race them to make the money, to win the race, to finish.
Yeah.
The horse gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Injured. Now, the most of the time, the horse can be rehabilitated and, you know, put in a cast and rehabilitated. That takes too much time, takes too much energy, it takes too much money. We're losing time, we're losing money. Let's get the next horse on the race. Let's just euthanize this one. Let's move on to the next. And that's the mentality of the racing industry.
I'm glad you said that because I always perceived it as, well, their leg's broken and we can't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting that you say that.
A lot of horses can be rehabilitated.
Wow.
They may not be racing horses again, right? They may just be a horse and live a life, but that doesn't make the industry any money. They're not going to put their time and money and, you know, get a vet and take all this time with physical therapy and this and that. If the horse can't get back on that racetrack and make money,
they
are just not going to do it. You know, they just can't do it. So the Kentucky racing officials launch investigation into the deaths. So the Churchill Downs described each horse fatality as unique, adding that there is no discernible pattern and that these are all different, you know, different types of deaths that happen to the horses and not just one thing that happened to them.
Wow.
But every year we hear the same thing. I don't think there's a year that goes by when the Kentucky Derby race happens. It happens once a year. And, you know, leading up to the training and leading up to the race, there's always injuries. There's whether it's to a person, a jockey, it's to a horse.
You only hear about it as if, like, one of the horses that are supposed to win get injured, and that's the only time you're ever, or, you know, or one of the favorites. And so it's interesting that this is coming out, especially prior to the race. It's just, it's disgusting. It really is.
Yeah. It's just really bad. And, you know, the Humane Society of the United States has been, you know, talking about this for a really long time. The other thing that we just got an action alert, and we're really working on horse soaring. Have you heard of horse soaring, Robert?
Yeah. Quickly give that to
us. Yeah, so horse soaring. Did you ever see those Tennessee walking horses that have those high gates and they put their legs up really, really high?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to train a horse to do that, it's really, really painful. Sometimes they use acid and things and really painful things to make the horses step like that. So it's called horse soaring. If you are inclined, please call your senator and ask them to please sign the bill against horse soaring. And that's what we're working on right now.
Oh, good one. And I know we'll talk about that more because let's get dig deep into that later on. Pina Gigi, Wendy, thank you so much for being on, as always. And I just want to say great updates as always. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace,
You might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming.